WHJE boasts years of pride and tradition. From the booth to the field, the WHJE sports team keeps you on the edge of your seats. Now the tradition continues. Join John Perkins, Jesse Smith, Vince Reimer, Alex Thomas, and Riley Sawyers for the Greyhound Halftime Show on 91.3 WHJE.
Well, folks, welcome back. Again, I'm John Perkins alongside my esteemed colleague, Jesse Smith. It's been a real honor to call this game for you tonight. It's been a great game so far. Pike has the lead, 32 to Carmel's 20.
As we are going to resume football here after a couple of on-field festivities that the Carmel Greyhounds like to put on here at home, the field goal challenge. With 12 minutes remaining in the ball game when we start the fourth quarter, Carmel has a 12-point deficit. Any way you look at it, it is two possessions. They're starting to drive now. Second and two coming up from the 40-yard line of the Pike Red Devils. And off that last drive, of that last run, excuse me, Shakir Pascal really had himself quite a game. He hasn't gotten the ball as much as we've seen in previous games, but when he has, he's been quite effective up the middle.
Yeah, he really has, Jesse. He's done a good job. And again, I totally give credit to myself again for calling him the impact player of the game. You know, I just think that he's that kind of guy who's got to come up big. And he's really done a good job of it. He provides that kind of inside back that the Carmel's really looking for. You know, talk about last year's team. They had a great running back in Jalen Duncan, a guy who really was that power back up the middle. But, man, did he have some speed on him. And the Carmel and they really could run him almost anywhere on the field. They had the offensive line to do it. They had a quarterback and Brandon Luger, and they rotated Lampy in. They did it really well, actually, to say the least. And it just gave Jalen Duncan a lot of room to work. And they've kind of struggled with figuring out that balance. You know, where does Perkins work best? Where does Pascal work best? And we've seen that Perkins is deadly on the perimeter. But there really hasn't been an area for Perkins to truly shine as well as he could. I mean, imagine if Perkins was on Pike, for instance, and this team who's shotgun heavy, they're read option heavy. Chris Perkins would be lighting it up. We'd see him having 600, 700 yards already this season. He's had a great season so far, but you run into problems, and I think you don't get to tap into as much as you really could with him. And there's so much depth on that offense that they will never truly be able to really tap into all of it.
And when you think about it, all these guys have roles on the team. You know, Austin Roberts is the go-to guy. He's the playmaker. Baldwin is the reliable hands. And when it comes down to it, if it's about first down or second down and long and you need a carry, Chris Perkins is probably going to get it. You need a short yard carry, it's probably going to be Shakir Pascal. And it's pretty predictable. But at the same time, I said it before, I'm going to say again, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If it's effective, keep going with it. As Isaac James come back out onto the field, and they're gonna line up into that flex bone formation. Well, we return second and two from the 40-yard line of Pike as Isaac James goes back under center. The Carmel student section with their enthusiastic "I believe that we will win" chant. And we're back to football as Perkins goes in motion. James looking to pass as time, shakes a couple tacklers, spin move now running backwards, looking for anywhere, now going completely the wrong way. He throws this one away, trying to get it back towards Perkins. And after all that, well, they could have lost about 15 yards on that play, and James able to elude a bunch of defenders and get it over towards Perkins on the sideline for the incomplete pass.
Scary play there if you're Isaac James. And you know, up here in the booth, we were biting our nails on that one. Could have ended much worse than it did. Heads up to Isaac James to be able to evade four or five different tackles and they just heave it out of bounds.
So now third and two after all that. And the carry up the middle, Shakir Pascal, as reliable as ever to the 35-yard line. That'll move the chains to bring up the first and 10 with 11:44 remaining in the ballgame. Carmel again trying to cut into that 12-point lead of the Pike Red Devils. And a lot of the second half has been focused on the rushing game. They have 164 yards on the ground tonight. James back under center in the flex bone. Perkins moves in motion this time. Option run. That one's going to go up the middle again to Shakir Pascal. He's going to gain himself about 3 yards, second and seven up on the way.
And Isaac James had the hole out to the left side off the tackle. It was open. If he had kept that, he might have been able to get a few more yards there. A little bit of open space, too. He could have shot that up. We do have a player down. But, Jesse, I want to kind of pause here. This linebacking core for Pike hasn't really made an impact. And I know that defensive line is the big talked about part. But your linebacking core is what's responsible for plugging up the holes there. You're working against a very talented offensive line, one that is very accustomed to making holes for guys like Shakir Pascoe. Your linebackers have to be ready to come in and fill those holes. They really haven't been able to do it. That's why Shakir Pascoe is getting 5 or 6 yards every single rush.
And when you see this flexible formation, if you see Roberts in motion about 80% of the time, he's going to receive the handoff. But most of the time, Roberts is kind of standing there, and he goes out and runs his route as normal. If you see Chris Perkins, you got to go with the triple option there with either Perkins or Pascoe or James, all of them equally as dangerous in their own ways. But lately we've seen most of the time when Perkins moves in motion, the ball is still going to Shakir Pascoe. A lot of Perkins carries have come when Lampy's on the field in a shotgun formation or they try to go in the pistol.
When you talked about roles, and I think that's an important part of the football game that we don't talk about enough, the role of Chris Perkins in that situation is to be a distraction. The role of Chris Perkins is to try to create havoc in that defense. You know, those defensive players are yelling, I got him, you know, trying to confuse him. And the ball off to Pascoe, he's got 5 yards.
Pistol formation, and put Roberts in motion. And this time off the option, Roberts has it. He has daylight towards that left sideline. Racing towards it, cuts back middle of the field, breaks a tackle. Down at about the 28-yard line, Austin Roberts has himself about a gain of 8. So that one's going to bring up about a 3rd and 3. Actually, they're going to mark him down closer to the 30-yard line, into 29.
That's going to bring up 3rd and 3.
So at the 29-yard line of Pike, Isaac James comes back out in that flex bone formation. 2 wide set. Baldridge on the left, Baldwin on the right. Perkins moves in motion. Now he has to go back and reset as James looks towards the sideline for additional signaling. 10:36 remaining in the ball game. Still down 12. Carmel trying to drive here on 3rd down. Perkins moves in motion. Up the middle again, Shakir Pascoe trying to get that forward progress going. Dives ahead to the 25-yard line, and Shakir Pascoe doing it once again. Clutch on 3rd down and short. 1st down Hounds.
Miles
is going to come up with the stop there. 10:26 remaining in the ballgame. That'll stop the clock with the moving of the chains. Under center goes Lampy. Pascoe to down back in the backfield. 25 left hash. They put Perkins in motion. This time he receives the pitch off the right side. Daylight ahead. 25-yard line, 20-yard line. Puts his head down, trying to fight for a couple extra yards. He's across the 15. That's a solid gain for him. That'll be enough for the first down.
See, that's where Perkins has to cut up earlier. He's taking too long. He's kind of like playing dance behind his blockers, kind of waiting for them to make the hole, when in reality the hole is already there. He's got to cut up quick and recognize that he has the hole. He might not be able to see it because his blockers are offset, but he's got to scoot up there before they all bunch together, and that's potentially a touchdown.
So 1st down and 10 from the 15-yard line off the right hash. Still same flex bone formation. They put Perkins in motion. And this time, Pascoe up the middle, barreling through, taking 3 defenders with him. He's going to be brought down at about the 8-yard line. And that's going to be set up about a 2nd and 3 inside the 10-yard line. So 9:51 and counting. Clock still ticking away. That's the one downside to this rushing attack, is the clock will continue to run. At the 8-yard line now, Pike, Carmel threatening inside the 10. From the flex bone, Perkins moves in motion again. And this time, let's see, James decides to keep it up the middle, trying to get to that goal line. It's going to be close. He's going to be brought down just short off the quarterback keeper. But that's going to be enough for the 1st down. Not a bad situation to be in for the Hounds. 1st and goal from the 2. 9:32 as the clock stops left in this ball game. 32-20, Pike. Carmel knocking on the door of the promised land. Under center, James puts Perkins in motion. Pascoe tries to go up the middle. And it looks like he's going to be stopped just short, and that will be 2nd down and goal from the inch line. Carmel just needs to push it over a little bit. In this situation, we see James. He loves to bounce it out to the outside when he runs, but are you trying to quarterback sneak up the middle to try to catch him off guard?
This is a tough one right here. A lot of guys like to just shove it up the middle there. I say go for it. Shove it up the middle here with Shakir Pascoe. See what he can do.
Perkins goes in motion, and now he has to go back and reset as James will look towards that sideline once again. Defense not caught off guard this time. James, still a little bit unsure, puts Perkins in motion again this time. Pitch out to the right side. Perkins is going to go into the end zone easily, and that is a touchdown for Chris Perkins in the 4th quarter again. He has a knack for those. That's a 2nd in as many weeks. That makes it 26-32.
And smart call there, Jesse. You know I'm a huge fan of that sweep when you've got Chris Perkins. You know that I love to see him get to the perimeter. Great play recognition from the coaching staff right there to understand, to utilize him as that back. Pitch him the ball to the outside, let him work his way in. He was able to do that, walked right into the end zone.
Again, here's another big, stop me if you heard this one before. Here's another big extra point attempt from Adam Kramer on the way as the Carmel Greyhounds are trailing by six. It's a one possession game any way you slice it, but trying to make it a 5-point game, which would make it even closer for the Carmel Greyhounds, touchdown would win it. So Kramer lining up for this one. 8:45 remaining in the ballgame. Still a lot of football left to be played. Baldwin on the hold. Hold is up. The kick is up. And it looks like the kick will be good. That makes it 27-32. Carmel trying to storm their way back, but this Red Devil offense has proved with their 192 passing yards, 147 rushing yards, they can hurt you in both ways.
And now here's what Carmel has to do on defense, because you're giving Pike the ball back, and they've been rolling very well, but their drives have not been quick. They've not been two-play 70-yard drives that result in a 65-yard touchdown pass to Dominique Booth. They've been slow. They've been methodical. They've been working to the outside, then cut back, use a play action there, get 3 yards on the receptions, and then maybe work it out here on second down and get a breakout run. But things like that, they're methodical with the way they work. You cannot allow them to take 5 minutes off the clock. And we've seen them do that before. But you can't put John Lampe in another position like last week. Granted, he runs the two-minute drill well. That's a last-case scenario thing. That's why it's at the end of your playbook. It's because you never really want to have to go there. Granted, he runs it well, but again, like we said, there's only so much pressure you can put on your quarterback. There's only so much you can expect out of him before whether Pike's defense steps up, before something goes wrong, whether a turnover or whatever. There's too many variables. The defense has to make a stop here to give John Lampe, we're talking 6-5 minutes to work.
And that's the case. We've seen Isaac James leading the team this entire half, and a rushing game has been on point. Over 200 yards rushing on the night, exactly 201 for the Hounds versus the 88 rushing yards.
And I say John Lampe, I mean Isaac James as well. I want to give complete credit to him. I'm total supporting of him. And so either way, I think you can choose both. So whether you go with Lampe and make him air the ball out, give him that 5 or 6 minutes. If you do the same with Isaac, I love it. Keep doing what you're doing. I don't think the offense strategy has to change one bit.
I definitely think this game is a lot higher scoring than most people were thinking before they came into it. 32-27 here, and we still got plenty of football left to play. 8:45 remaining in the ball game as we're getting ready to kick this one away. Adam Kramer will be kicking it off when they break huddle. He gave it back towards Dominique Booth there. We've seen on a couple of occasions he has gotten a return. He's been pretty impressive with it. He's got a lot of speed. But this is the area of the field where Kramer was kicking towards last time, where he had some trouble getting it to the end zone.
Now, here's one area we haven't seen that Pike offense run yet, and that's that wildcat with Dominique Booth in that read option. He likes to bring a receiver in motion. Either gives it off, and they get a nice gain with that little bit of a jet sweep, or he'll keep it for himself and he'll either run it up the middle or run it off the tackle and kind of sweep it a little bit. But we haven't seen him do that so far, and it's kind of been one-sided. But I guess when Brett Lyles is playing as well as he, you don't need to move Dominique Booth down that wildcat position.
192 passing yards on the night, quite impressive indeed, as Kramer's about ready to set to kick this one away back towards the area of Dominique Booth. Going two different return men this time are the Pike Red Devils. Wilkerson is back there as well, a tailback. So some playmakers are going to be taking this one back either way you look at it, as this one's going way back, and Kramer's able to get that one into the end zone. Automatic touchback rule. We'll start them at the 20-yard line. So modest field position from either side if you're looking at it. And pumped up is Adam Kramer, knowing he did not get the ball into the hands of the playmaker, the D1 recruit for the Pike Red Devils. 8:45 left in the ball game. Pike has a 5-point lead, trying to make this a two-possession game before the end of this one.
Adam Kramer, he's got 1,752 yards on that kickoff right there. 19 touchbacks coming into this game. He's done a great job.
So make that 22 on the season. He has 3 tonight. The handoff up the middle to Sanders, and Mitch Lindgren comes up with the tackle. Minimal gain. And that'll be a 2nd and 9 on the way for the Pike Red Devils. Now, are you still being aggressive in this situation if you're Pike? Only a 5-point lead. Or are you in clock milking time on this drive?
I think you can do a little bit of both. I think they've done a good job of taking some serious shots downfield, but when you're working the ball in the short-range passes like they have been, I don't really see a need to be aggressive. I think if you can keep working those slants like you have been, keep doing what you're doing, try to milk time off the clock.
Four wide set now for Pike. Three out to his right. He's looking to pass over that screen side. Right side, he finds his man. He's going to be brought out of bounds. Finds Jared Ruth once again, and he's really been his go-to guy. Jared Ruth, number eight for the Pike Red Devils off that right side.
Again, but you don't want to pass Ruth the ball and watch him go out of bounds. You do not want to be stopping the clock at this position, at this point in the ball game. You only took about a second off there. Now you've got a third down. If you don't convert on this third down right here, folks, you're looking at 8 minutes for said quarterback to work.
Four wide set. They look over the middle. That one's going to be intercepted by Jack Conway. He comes up with it at the 43-yard line. And Jack Conway proves clutch once again. And he seems to do it in the biggest games.
So that's number three on the interception list for Jack Conway. And, man, that's what they needed right there. And so you're going to give Isaac James or John Lampe the ball with 7:58 here in this fourth quarter. That is too much time if you're a Pike to let them work.
And Lyle's trying to lead the receiver a little bit, just went a little bit wide, and Jack Conway seems to be that guy who's always in the right place at the right time. And as you mentioned, that clock with 8 minutes to go, plenty of time, opens up the playbook. So Isaac James will come back out, and this rushing attack looks ready to go. James under center flex bone. They move Roberts. This time they give it off. Pascal still going through, breaking two tackles on the way. He has enough for the first down. The Carmel Greyhound offense is rolling.
I say start running that two-minute drill right here. Keep them on their heels. See if you can even take a shot down the field. I know Isaac James is not that passing quarterback, but I would even try to send Thomas Baldwin on the right side here. You may be able to seriously take a shot downfield.
This one, if it's not a first down, it's awfully close. Might not give him that second effort. If that's the case, it's second and about a foot as the officials are going to look this one over. And it looks like we're going to have an officials timeout to measure. And the chain game will come back out on this one. 7:51 remaining in the ball game. This is a big first down right here. Pascal, if he's able to pick this one up, that stops the clock for him. We're coming back out. See if he has enough forward progress, and he's going to be about a foot short on here, so second and one. But if this is a situation, second and one, you got plenty of time. You got a few downs to work with here deep in Pike territory. Are you taking a shot at the end zone?
No, I like the idea of an option. You know, I think why don't you take Chris Perkins in motion again from that looks like Falcon position, fake the handoff to Pascal and pitch it out to Perkins, get him to the outside.
Flexbone formation. They put Perkins in motion once again. They run the option. Pascal has some room up the middle. Hurdles over a player at the 20-yard line. And Shakir Pascal, the downhill runner, showing off the jumps a little bit.
And so like we talked about, kind of in that player battle right there, Shakir Pascal versus Chris Perkins. I'm telling you, I really like Shakir Pascal. I think he's that back that they need right now, and he is fitting that offense very well. But credit Chris Perkins, who's creating some distraction in the backfield.
So they're going to go hurry up offense at the 19-yard line. Perkins in motion once again. And this time they give it right back to Pascal. Pascal met at the line of scrimmage, but falls forward for a few yards. It just seems like he's that running back that whenever he gets the football, he's moving forward, and you're not going to stop him either way.
Well, it's almost like we've reversed roles again in the first half. Carmel was struggling with the run against Sanders and Wilkerson. But now it seems like Pike is really on their heels, and that defensive line is just almost discombobulated.
Second and seven from the 16-yard line. Right hash, and the sweep will go over towards Roberts. Roberts races towards the sideline. Foot race. He heads upfield, and Roberts takes a big shot out of bounds. He's going to gain himself a few yards. That'll set up a third and short for this Carmel Greyhound offense. But again, that stops the clock. 7:03, and they've only had the ball for about 50 seconds now on this drive, but a lot of yardage going their way.
And obviously here, you're not thinking about the clock because you're thinking about that score deficit. You're trying to put points on the board and get the lead. After you put this score on the board, that's when you can start thinking about time management.
Third and two on the way. They put Perkins in motion. Some players almost jumping off sides there. That would have given them the automatic. They were able to hold still there right before they jumped over. James looks over towards the sideline. Off that left hash at the 11-yard line. Third and two. Perkins in motion once again. He's going to receive the sweep. He receives it, trying to break a tackle, and a nice play there made by the defensive line of the Pike Red Devils, and that one's going to be Miles.
And we've called Miles' name quite a few times tonight. Now, again, Miles was one of those players who made that personal foul out of bounds on Austin Roberts. But, hey, the senior playing heads-up ball, that's a huge tackle right there. They really needed that, a big-time fourth down here. And obviously, Isaac James trying to win his appeal, looking for the sign, seeing if he can go for it. The crowd's getting into it now, showing their support for Isaac James, who is staying on the field Lampe still on the sidelines.
It looks like we're going to have a timeout called here by the Cromwell Greyhounds. Valuable timeouts towards the end of this game. 6:19 remaining here in the ballgame. 4th and 7. We'll see if the Cromwell Greyhounds elect to go for it or to go for the chance at some points with Adam Kramer. We'll be right back here on the Voice of the Greyhounds, WHJE.
They aren't just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out high school game day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE at 6 o'clock every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
Yeah, for those of you who are just joining us, I'm John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith. Be sure to check out High School Game Day. We have that before every home game day here. I think that today might have been actually our last one. It's kind of almost a sad, remorseful time for us. That just hit me right as I said that. It just kind of sunk in like, this is it. Being a senior, it's been neat to be able to cover these football games, and you really begin to feel kind of like a part of the team. You get to sit up here with the coaches, and of course, they sit there and try to do everything they can to distract you and make you laugh. But man, has it been fun! It's been such a pleasure, and so we've got to thank, of course, Brian Spielbeller, our director, and just everybody who's made this happen. Of course, the likes of Johnny Wozniak and Kyle Hunter going before us, and 50 years has been the legacy of WHJE, 50 years of bringing you the Voice of the Greyhounds. So we're going to continue to do that, hopefully, Jesse and I, as we go along in our careers and get to call some more football games. We just love it so much, and so we appreciate you all. We appreciate everybody, and so thank you very much. 6:19 remaining here in the ballgame. 32-27 in favor of Pike. But Carmel has done a good job so far, and they're really knocking on the doorstep here of Pike.
4th and 7 coming up for the Carmel Greyhounds. Any way you look at it here, big play as this offensive huddle is over on that sideline. At the 16-yard line off that right hash, let's see what quarterback they decide to go with here, or if they even decide to go with the quarterback at all and they try to go for some points. But I got to believe it's 4th down and 7. You're deep into Pike territory. I think this is 4th down territory.
That's a tough call because, you know, you come out here and it seems like it might be a good decision to put 3 points on the board, but obviously they disagree with me here, and you can hear the crowd. And they agree with the decision to put John Lampe on the field, and he's going to make something happen here.
4-wide pistol formation, 3 out to his left, 4th and 7 for John Lampe. He looks over towards the sideline. Interesting enough, play clock is not running here on the scoreboard. 6:19 remaining in the ballgame after that timeout from the Greyhounds. Roberts moves over towards the right side now to split the difference. Takes the snap. Lampe looking in Roberts' area. Finds Baldwin instead. Baldwin in the slot. Comes up with the catch. And that's another 4th down conversion to Thomas Baldwin. That'll put him at the 6-yard line. And stop me if you heard this one before. Lampe comes in to convert on 4th.
And I love it. Now they're bringing James back out there. I think that's a great call there. Man, I've been so impressed with the play calling tonight. Fantastic job to be able to read that defense. A nice quick slant. And here's Isaac James.
From the flex bone. Pascal the lone tailback, and then Pascal tries to barrel up into the end zone. He's going to be close, going to be stopped at about the 1-yard line, though, after the 1st and goal from the 6. So 2nd and goal from the 1 coming up as James looks to stay out there on the field playing quarterback now. They'll line him up officially at the 2, inside the 2-yard line now, up like 5:50 remaining in the ball game, trailing by 5, Carmel knocking on the door of the end zone. Same flex bone set. They put Roberts down this time as they put Perkins in motion. Try to go up the middle again with Shakir Pascal. Isaac James signaling touchdown, and then the referee signaling it as well. 33-32, and Shakir Pascal again finishes what he started. That'll give him the 1-point lead with 5.5 to go in the ball game. And let's see if they're going to decide to go for 2. John Lampe immediately running out on the field trying to make this a 3-point game. Electing to go for the 2-point conversion now. They stack up on that left side. 4 wide off the left. Empty backfield set for Lampe. He also has the tight end out to his right. That's Becker. So Lampe all alone back there trying to play a little prevent defense is Pike. They put a man in motion. That one's Baldridge out to the right side now. takes the snap, looking over. Lampy's going to take this one, trying to carry it in a lot of trouble. He's going to be knocked down at about the 4-yard line. They are not going to get the 2-point conversion. But nonetheless, they do have the lead with 5.5 to go, 33-32.
And, Jesse, I think that's one of those calls that is actually a very, very good call. You look at that and say, well, they didn't get any points on the board. But if you think about it, if they had kicked the field goal, they would have only, you know, put up 2. And so right there in and of itself, you know, it's still a 3-point ball game right there for Pike to be able to take the lead. So either way you look at it, they can win with a field goal now. And so this is that time where Carmel's got to buckle down on defense. That defense has played so well thus far this game. They've done a great job of really kind of stepping into that position of kind of the, I guess, in a weird sense, almost that father of the team. And then they've stepped in and they've led this team all the way to this point. They've kept taking all of the burden and kind of all the mistakes. And they've said, no, it's okay. We got it. We'll clean it up for you. And they've done a good job now. That offense has started to get into a rhythm and really started to make some things happen. So here I think the key for this defense is they've got to have one more push. They've got to just have one more push. And I think if they can force a turnover or a 3-and-out here, I think you're seeing the Carmel Greyhounds walking out with a W. But there's still about 6 minutes left in this ballgame. We have seen many things happen in 6 minutes of play.
6 minutes is a long time when you're talking about the game clock there. And we said earlier, how important was it going to be for the Carmel Greyhounds to come up with a turnover? And really the first mistake from Lyles all night was that interception. It was a great catch made, diving catch and a diving attempt made by Jack Conway there, set him up with some good field position. And give credit to that offensive line of the Carmel Greyhounds. Anytime your team puts up 234 rushing yards, yes, we're going to talk about the running backs all night. But it's the holes that are being opened by this offensive line that are enabling him to do so.
Well, and also think about the pacing, too, of that offense. They did such a nice job of almost countering what Pike was doing. And Pike was really slowing the ball down there. And for a second, we saw Isaac James moving up the field quite quickly. And then when he got in the red zone, it really seemed like he kind of slowed things down a little bit. And they began to work the corners and work it up the middle here and there. Take some time off that clock. Offense for really coming together and starting to work. Now this is where Pike is so deadly. You got a guy like Brent Lyles who's been such a threat from the air, the ground, and everywhere in between. That option run has really fueled them thus far today. Now again, I love the formations they run, that spread eye from full house set, play action, everything in between. Dominique Booth, if Pike is able to put some points on the board, it's going to be because of Dominique Booth. I see him really stepping up. He is that big play guy, just like Austin Roberts. I think Booth is the name of the game so far.
If there's such thing as a clutch kickoff here, Adam Kramer's going to need one coming up. If he can pin them back at the 20-yard line once again, give them 80 yards, 5.5 minutes. They still do have those 3 timeouts. To keep in mind, Carmel only has 2. But Dominic Booth is back deep to return. And anyone from Carmel knows when you have a top recruit receiver back deep to return late in the game, anything can happen. Kramer set to kick this one away for the Carmel Greyhounds. Everyone on their feet here at Carmel Stadium as this one is up and away. This one's going to stay in bounds at the 2-yard line. And it looks like he's going to take this one up the middle. Dominic Booth has some space. Bounces out. Penalty markers fly at the 20-yard line. And a good tackle made there by Landon Sinnes to stop him at the 27. But penalty markers fly back at about the 18. So we'll see what this one is against. That one will be holding. That is holding against the Pike Red Devils. And that one is going to be 10 yards or a halfway distance to the goal from the spot. 5:29 remaining here in the fourth quarter. You really can't get more evenly matched in this game. 1-point differential between the two teams. And the total yards, 332, 343. Pike actually had any advantage in that one.
But, man, that holding call is such a confidence killer. Going back to the first half, we saw that incredible run by Chris Perkins up the middle. It was about a 25-yard run taken back because of that holding call. And then the same right here. You know, we saw Dominique Booth with a great return there, stopped again by Landon Sinnes, but taken back because of that holding call. And so now Brent Lyles has to come out with very, very bleak field position, to say the least.
Halfway distance from the goal from the spot of the penalty is the call. That would have been at the 18, so it spots him at the 19. Run up the middle, Wilkerson. Wilkerson has some space, and Lindgren's finally going to bring him down at the 20-yard line. He easily has the first down there off of his first carry. Clock will stop very quickly at 5:22. Just like that, they're moving the chains. So from the 21-yard line, Lyles is going to hurry up to the line of scrimmage. They're going strong eye formation. They have one receiver way out to the right on the island alone with Alex Akins. under center. They try to go hard count. Now look over towards that sideline. Clock is continuing to run now with the ball set. 5:12 and counting. Carmel holding on to a one-point lead. Lyles tries to go up the middle with the carry. He gives that one off to the tailback, and Wilkerson's going nowhere. And the clock continues to dwindle away. Under 5 to go, and that's going to bring up the second and 10. At the 21-yard line with little urgency coming here from the Bike Red Devils. They're going to get some substitutions now as Wilkerson comes off the field. Let's see who comes out personnel-wise. They're showing shotgun right now. Four wide set. Look for Booth there in the slot off the left side. Takes the snap. He's looking towards Booth at the sideline. Woods is going to try to keep him inbounds. It looks like he will. And that one is going to be about a gain of 2 yards, maybe three. Third and 8 coming up. So big third down again coming up for the Carmel Greyhounds. 4:20 and counting. Clock really starting to dwindle now on the Red Devils. Carmel in the driver's seat, but not with the possession. Four wide set, three out to his right. Lyles tries to go hard count. It's not working. Third and 7, he looks over towards the sideline. 4 minutes in counting. 33-32 Carmel. Lyles takes the snap, looks to pass over right side. And he is going to complete that one at about the 28-yard line, finds his man. That one is Talfaro again. We've seen him go to him quite a bit on third down, but he does not have enough for the first. That's going to bring up about a 4th and 3. So big 4th down coming up here. Any way you look at it, Pike has all 3 timeouts, but not choosing to use one right now. 3:30 remaining in the ball game. 4 wide set. They split the difference. Lyles looks over towards the sideline now for additional signaling. He has Sanders to his left as the tailback. On the 28-yard line, he looks to pass that one over the middle. That one's going to be intercepted by Zach Woods. He keeps that foot in bounds, and another turnover by the Carmel secondary with some great field position, and they stop him once again.
So Zach Woods missed the first few games, came back, really has been kind of silent until now, and this is his breakout game right here. Nice interception there, and that turns the tide with 3:16 remaining in the ballgame. Carmel retains possession. 33-32 with a 1-point lead on Pike.
And he was looking Booth's way all the way, and Zach Wood read the quarterback's eyes perfectly on that one. Jumps the route, comes up with the interception at the 31-yard line. That's where Isaac James and this lethal rushing attack for the Carmel Greyhounds is going to take over.
If I'm James, I'm looking to put some more points on the board, even that lead out. Try to get it to 8 points if I can.
They're going wing T formation now, it looks like. Two backs in the backfield from the gun. Two wide set for James as he takes the snap. The handoff to Perkins, right tackle. He storms up the field, up the middle, at the 20-yard line. He's going to be wrestled down at the 17. And he has a first down.
And that's what I talk about when Chris Perkins has to recognize that hole up the middle. He's got to be able to cut quick. Sometimes he waits too long, and the play kind of overdevelops, if you will. Those blockers kind of run into each other, and it kind of cuts up some of those holes. Good job by Perkins to be able to recognize that and get up and get some extra yards.
3:08 remaining here in the ballgame. The clock stops, and now we'll begin to run after that first down. Flexbone formation, receiver on each side for James. Pascal, the down running back, as Perkins moved in motion, now has to go back and reset. James will call the additional signals as needed. No sense of urgency right now from Isaac James. He goes back under center, letting the clock tick away here as he put Roberts in motion this time. This one's a handoff up the middle. Shakir Pascal. Pascal trying to get inside the 5-yard line. He'll be brought down at about the 6. He's going to actually have the first down, it seems like. First down and goal from the 7. Clock stops again at 2:41. So at the 7-yard line, this rushing attack of the Carmel Greyhounds have now accumulated 258 yards tonight. 356 total. Under center now, Isaac James. Flexbone formation off the left hash at the 7. Perkins moves in motion, now has to go back and reset. James looks back towards the sideline. Pascal remains a down back. He has Baldwin out to his right. Baldridge out to his left. James puts Perkins in motion once again. The handoff to Pascal. Pascal storms through. He gets to about the 2-yard line now, biting out 4 or 5 yards at a time. Just another day at the office for Shakir Pascal. Clock continues to run, 2:03, and we have a timeout, the first one by the Pike Red Devils. Trying to make sure they keep this one within range for their quarterback to come back out on that 2-minute drill. Now, second and goal from the three. What's the game plan here, John? Are you going to continue to pound it up the middle?
You know, I think you could even take that shot to the end zone. I also like the pitch from Chris Perkins there. Put him in that Falcon position on the flex bone. He could potentially run that to the outside like he did before. Granted, they might be expecting it. We haven't seen Carmel run too much play action, so I don't know if they're going to go with that. I think it's always a valid point. You could always run that play action. It catches a lot of defenses off guard. I think there's a ton of options you can do. I put my trust in Brian Spielbeller. He's done a great job thus far this game of making some great play calls, reading that defense. That's the reason he's in the booth making those calls, and I'm not.
And there's also something you could also consider here. So we haven't seen Isaac James take a carry off the option in quite some time. Maybe kind of an unexpected move. They're kind of probably thinking right now in their huddle, get Pascal, look at Perkins, make sure he doesn't get too far. But Isaac James hasn't kept one for himself in a little bit. So nonetheless, they come back out, second and goal. James trots back out as the quarterback for this football team. With 2:03 remaining in the ballgame, Carmel in the driver's seat and knocking on the door of the end zone. 33-32 is your score. Trying to add to their lead. Here comes Isaac James under center. Flex bone formation. James takes a snap. He keeps it to himself. Tries to go up the middle. He's going to be stopped at about the 1 yard line. And we are going to have another timeout by Pike with a minute 58 remaining. Third down and goal coming up for the Hounds. And it looks like John Lampe is going to come out and lead this huddle right now. We got to believe with the rushing game, the way it's been in such a short yard situation, James will probably be staying out there. So third and goal from the one, we reset here. Now, John, your options are a little more limited. And if they do not convert here, is this four down territory for the Hounds, or do you go for assured points?
No, I go for the fourth down. You're on the 1 yard line right here. I don't see why you kick a field goal. And here's what I think you can honestly do. I think you can come out and maybe the pistol formation. Here's what I would personally do. I would come out here. I would fake the handoff to Shakir Pascal up. I think that, honestly, you could probably let Isaac James then roll that out and run it to the right side and walk in the end zone. I think it's kind of risky. It's kind of tough. You'd have to line up maybe three receivers to the right side of the field to get that blocking there. But I think they're going to be looking for you to pound it up the middle. I think your outside might be your best friend. Now, look as we're going out here. The defense is strong to the right side of the field here. Looks for Isaac James to read this.
I formation for the first time tonight. They got Roberts out wide to the right. James looks back now at his personnel. Under center, James takes a snap. He keeps this one, tries to go into the end zone, and he does exactly what John Perkins says and predicts, 39-32 after the rushing touchdown for Isaac James.
And I think that's the right call right there. They were waiting for that handoff to Pascal. And what happens? Isaac James takes it, runs it out to the right side. Now, he didn't even have to get out to the sideline, but he saw a hole, ran right into it, and now he's got himself 6 points under his belt. So Isaac James ups his TD margin on that rushing to 5. What a talented player. I think he's done a great job tonight.
39-32 is the score. Here comes Adam Kramer once again trying to make this an 8-point game with a minute 55 remaining. Baldwin, the receiver on the hold. That one's low, but he gets it. Able to get the kickoff in time, and the extra point will be good by Adam Kramer. 40-32 is your score, and the Carmel Greyhounds have stormed back after trailing by 12 points at the end of the third quarter.
And we keep saying it, Jesse. Damage control keeps winning for the Greyhounds, does it not? I would say that defense is something special. The way they play together, they come out here every game, and they don't let any deficit get them down. They keep their heads up. They keep fighting. They keep pushing. And they keep making opportunities happen for this offense. And I think that's the reason that Isaac James has had so much success tonight. I think that's the reason that Shakir Pascal has broken it out for 6 or 7 yards every carry. I think that's the reason that even Austin Roberts has gotten great looks in the open field. It's just because this defense has created opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for them. But, hey, a minute 55, Pike, they're only down 8. Pike is a very talented ball club. And like you said, for all of us Carmel fans out here, when Dominic Booth is in the ballgame, when a star receiver is in the ballgame, for that matter, things can happen.
And when you think about it, though, when the Carmel Greyhounds comes back out, they can have the confidence knowing they can't possibly lose this ballgame on this drive. Most they can give up is 8 points. So 40-32 as Adam Kramer looks to kick this one away from his own 40-yard line. Booth and Wilkerson back deep to return. Kramer trying to put all his leg into this one. A line drive back towards Booth. He's going to take it at about the 3. Booth trying to storm upfield. Cuts back right side of the field. And good kickoff coverage by the Carmel Greyhounds. Cameron Hunt will bring him down to 21. So minute 49 remaining here for Lyles and Booth and all these playmakers that have been doing so well all night for the Pike Red Devils will trot back out on the field. Only one timeout remaining for Pike, as they have a lot of field to go with, 79 yards to get into the end zone. Plus, they have to get that two-point conversion as well. Let's see if Lyles is going to spread out the offense here. He's going to have Booth lined up to his left. Four wide set as it seems. Booth will be lined up in the slot. They split the difference on the receivers. With a tailback to his right, Lyles will take the snap. Prevent defense for Carmel. They get it over towards the sideline. He finds his man at about the 38. He's going to be wrestled out of bounds by Zach Woods. Devin Pearson coming up with a pretty big reception. That's going to move the chains for the Pike Red Devils and stop the clock at a minute 43.
And we've called Pearson so many times this game. He's done a great job on kind of that quick, almost hook route. Look for Pearson now as that coverage comes up here, playing pretty close.
Now Lyles will take the snap, only rushing 3, has all day to throw, looking again. Pearson on almost that same exact play. He makes the reception but stays in bounds at the 48. But per high school rules, the clock will stop after the first down. The ball will be set and it will start up once again, but a minute 35 and Pike is driving. So 4 wide set now. They move Booth into the slot off the right side. 3 out to his right, 1 to his left. With a tailback to his left, Lyles has nowhere to go, dumps it off Sanders, tries to head towards the sideline. He's going to be stopped in bounds. He's going to have enough for the first down, so 4 plays and 4 first downs coming up here for Pike. That stops the clock at a minute 21. Now they're at the 37-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds. Lyles trying to go, hurry up to the line here. 4 wide set, 3 out to his right, Booth in the slot off that right side. Sanders stays in the game as the receiving back to Lyles right from the gun. Takes the snap, has time to throw, looking deep downfield. Now under pressure, breaks a tackle, rolls out to his right. Hune giving chase. He's going to storm up the field. He tries to get out of bounds, and it looks like he will after being chased down by the linebacking core of the Carmel Greyhounds.
So, Jesse, a minute 5 here left in the game. Overtime rules do apply here. Both teams will get the ball at the 10-yard line. With 4 downs to score, it's not too early to be talking about that overtime factor here.
So 2nd and 4, the clock stops after he is able to make it out of bounds at the Carmel 31-yard line. Pike not going quietly. 4 wide set, they split the difference from the right hash. Lyles, under center, takes the snap. Looking deep down the field, pressure coming from behind. He doesn't see it, now he does. Sennard not able to wrap him up, looking deep down the field. There's a man open, but he is not able to connect as he was being shoved out of bounds there. Almost had his man, that one was Tefero, way downfield. So 3rd down and 4, 55 seconds remaining in the ball game from the Carmel 31-yard line, definitely within striking distance with the quarterback that has the arm like Lyles. But 3rd down and 4, most important thing, you can move over the middle of the field here. Clock will stop with the first down. Look for Devin Pearson. He's been clutch on 3rd down all night. He's lined up to his left. Lyles looks over towards the sideline. Clock has stopped after that incomplete pass, but anytime you have Pearson and Booth over on that left side, that's a deadly combination. At the 31-yard line, right hash, he takes the snap. Blitz coming from Burks. That one is going to be complete. Booth makes the catch. 25-yard line, he dives across. He's going to have enough for the first down. Clock stops at 47.8. Dominic Booth this time coming in clutch on the 3rd down. So at the 24-yard line, when this ball is set, the clock will start to run. Trailing by 8, Pike trying to come back here, moving to the red zone with the ball set. Starts, 4 wide set, 3 out to his right. Has time to throw, looks over middle of the field. That one's going to be batted down, and Noah Burks almost got 2 hands on that one rather than the 1. So trying to go for Talfero once again. 2nd and 10 coming up, 37.9 seconds remaining. Clock will stop. They can take a little more time calling this play.
That one baffled me. He had Devin Pearson streaking on the left side of the field. Had Zach Woods beat. Might have had the touchdown on the left side, but just got carried away with his number one receiver there on the right side.
Four wide set, three up to his right from the Crumble 24. He has time to throw, looks deep down the right side, out of bounds almost, and he's going to make the reception. A great catch there by Jared Ruth, and how many times have we called him on the big plays tonight? That'll move the chains once again, stops the clock, and they are inside the Crumble red zone. That'll line him up at the 13-yard line. High school football at its finest here, folks, down to the wire. 32.6 seconds remaining for Pike as the clock is stopped as we speak. 13 yards, have an attempt at tying this ball game up. Four wide set, three out to his left. Off the right hash, Lyles will take the snap. Blitz coming, and he is going to be able to throw that one away. And let's see, penalty markers will fly. And that looks to be intentional grounding as Lyles had nowhere to go with the football. This is a big penalty right here. A lot of precious field position and the loss of a down pending. Waiting on the official call. It is intentional grounding against Lyles here. That's going to move him back, and they do not get that down back.
That's a tough one right there. You know, they're going to lose the down anyways to the sack. So, you know, kind of pick your poison there. It's a little tough. But at least he came out of that without an interception, without a turnover. That could have been way worse than it was. Now he's got a second shot on second down.
Second down and 21 from the 24-yard line. Lyles drops back. Pressure coming once again as flush out to his right. Finds his man, but does he get out of bounds? And it looks like he does. 19.2 seconds remaining. That's going to bring up a third and long. They're going to line them up again at about the 23, not really getting anything off that last play. And that's going to be the final timeout for the Pike Red Devils. With 19 seconds remaining, a big third down and long coming up. So third down and 19 is the official spot here at the 22-yard line. And Pike, with not that much time remaining, has come out firing after being at their own 21-yard line. Putting up a fight here now at the opposing 22. Have a couple shots at the end zone.
I'd like to see you take Devin Pearson, number 11. Take him out wide on the left side and then move your number one receiver, Dominique Booth, in the slot. Here's what I think you can do. I think you can draw a cross here between these two receivers. What's been happening so far is the coverage for the Greyhounds has been playing far enough off that I think you can create some serious confusion. Maybe even move a third slot guy in, have him run a little bubble screen to try to draw someone off. I think that if you potentially were able to throw it out to the left corner of the end zone, you might be able to get enough air on that ball that, you know, your only guy who's able to come out with it is Dominique Booth.
And when you've seen it so far tonight, we've seen Brent Lyles with the ability, if he has time to stand back, stand tall, and fire off that back foot, he has a great arm, especially when he's looking over the middle. Third and 19 coming up. Cannot script the end of this game any better, but Lyles comes back out in the four wide set. Two on each side, Pearson and Booth on to his left. Be looking for them. Big plays all night. It looks like we are going to have a timeout, this time by the Carmel Greyhounds. Carmel will have one more remaining.
And you see over there, they had set Devin Pearson, of course, and then Dominique Booth there in that one wide out, and then, of course, Booth on that slot. So I'm looking here for the pass. I'm looking to go to your number one guy. But when you've got an array of receivers who are very talented, you can't put too much emphasis on that number one receiver. Either way, I think that honestly right here, Pike has got the upper hand. I know there's only 19 seconds left, and I know they've got a third and long, but here's the deal. Carmel is having to play defense. They're having to stop this. They're having to play conservative. They are having to stop a score right here. Pike has a ton of options. They can do as many things as they want to, in reality, to try to work something up. I'd like to see them do some trickery or something. You got two shots left if you look at it that way. You know, if you just play smart, and if Brett Lyles doesn't throw it into coverage, you know, I honestly think that Pike has a good shot of putting 6 points on the board. Now, the two-point conversion is going to be the hardest thing out of everything.
So, again, 40-32. Carmel has the lead. 19.2 seconds remaining, 3rd and 19 for Lyles in this offense. Four wide shotgun set. They split the difference. At the 22-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds, he takes the snap. Has some more time to throw, looks deep over the middle. That one is going to be almost intercepted, knocked down. But here comes the last chance. That one had some daylight as Jared Ruth almost had that one, but great job by the Cromwell secondary, able to break up that one. So here it comes down to this last play. Fourth and 19 from the 22-yard line. Pike cannot call a timeout.
Look at the arm speed there of Brent Lyles on that one. I mean, that, what a cannon he has for an arm. Very dangerous. He's able to weave it between two or three defenders.
He drops back now after receiving the snap. Rolls out to his right looking for the end zone. That one's up in the air. Fair game for anybody. And that's going to be the ball game, folks, as that one is going to be incomplete with 5 seconds remaining. And the Carmel Greyhounds have come back in the fourth quarter once again.
So what a drive there by Pike. Had us all on the edge of our seats there. Came down to the final play. The final down, fourth down there. And Pike can't hang their heads. They've got to walk out of here, heads held high. You know, if I'm the coach, that's a moral victory in my book. You came in here to Carmel Stadium. Not only did you hold the lead for three quarters, but you were almost able to pull out an overtime shot here. And so now, of course, we're going to see the Greyhounds come out in the victory formation. And if I'm the coach, man, I'm sending out Isaac James. I believe he is the one who gets to take the knee here. He's done an incredible job here in the second half of commanding the team, doing a good job of just being an all-around leader. Whether he's rushing the ball or making some things happen, handing it off to receivers, taking it himself even. He's done a good job of really putting those points on the board, increasing that lead 40-32 in favor of the Greyhounds.
Last week it was John Lampe with the fourth quarter heroics. This week, in completely different fashion, we see Isaac James do exactly the same, putting down that last one that would eventually give them that 8-point lead that they needed to seal this one up 40-32. And James, as you mentioned, trots out onto the field. Roberts playing some kind of defense in that victory formation. And it looks like James takes the snap. And that is the end of the football game. In dramatic fashion, the Carmel Greyhounds come back after trailing by 12 in the fourth quarter. Once again, they win 40-32. John, your final thoughts? And
I think this win legitimizes Carmel's chance, of course, of that championship, of walking into Lucas Oil Stadium and walking out with that trophy held high and bringing home another state championship to Carmel High School. I think this is that win where you look at a Carmel team who came out very slow. Pike came out firing on all cylinders. They came out with the upper hand. They came out with all of the power. And Carmel's able to battle back, put some nice points on the board. Final score, 40-32, again, in favor of the Greyhounds. For this ESPNU night, it's been so fun for WHJE to be able to broadcast this game. Hey, we're going to send it back to the station for some commercial-free radio. For Jesse Smith, I'm John Perkins. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE Carmel.